ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो इट्स ए pleasure and honor to be here today to address the assembled Vaishnavas. Hopefully, by your mercy, I can say something meaningful. So, reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 15th chapter, text number 25. Ayam hi dehino deho Drabhya Jnana Kriyatmaka Dehino Bibidha Klesha Santapa Krit Udarita. Ayam hi Dehino Deho Drabhya Jnana Kriyatmaka Dehino bibidha klesha santapa kred udarita. Ayam hi dehino deho drabhya jnana kriyatmaka. Dehino bibidha klesha santapa kred udarita. Ayam this, he certainly, dehina of the living entity, deha body, drabhya jnana kriya atmaka, consisting of the material elements, the senses for acquiring knowledge, and the acting senses. Dehina of the living entity. Bibidha, various. Klesha, sufferings. Santapa, and of pains. Krit, the cause. Udarita, is declared. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The living entity in the bodily conception of life is absorbed in the body, which is a combination of the physical elements, the five senses for gathering knowledge, and the five senses of action, along with the mind. Through the mind, the living entity suffers three kinds of tribulations: adibhautika, adidaivika, and adhyatmika. Therefore, this body is a source of all miseries. Everyone can please repeat. The living entity in the bodily conception of life is absorbed in the body, which is a combination of the physical elements, the five senses for gathering knowledge, and the five senses of action, along with the mind. Through the mind, the living entity suffers three kinds of tribulations: adibhautika, adidaivika, and adhyatmika. Therefore, this body is a source of all miseries. Purports. In the fifth canto, 554, while instructing his sons, Rishabhdev said, Asanapi Kleshada Asadeha. The body, although temporary, is the cause of all miseries of material existence. As already discussed in the previous verse, the entire material creation is based on mental concoction. Om jnanat mirandasya gnanjana sharakaya chakshurum militam yena tasmai sri gurave namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadahmahyam Radati Svaparantikam Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gurubhani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Astyatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shri Vashari Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I stopped here in the purport because just reminded me of something that Srila Prabhupada says in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita. He says that all the activities of the body are actually not activities of the body, but activities of the mind. Otherwise, the mind is the most active sense, because the body will not act without the mind. And even when the body is not acting, the mind is active, like dreaming and so many different states of consciousness. The mind is always active. Sometimes, unfortunately, even while we're chanting japa, you know, it's very active. Sometimes we're trying to do anything, see the deity, hear the Bhagavatam, and the mind is acting in a different way. So the mind is the focal point, so much so that Srila Prabhupada mentions the mind 269 times in Bhagavad Gita. No. So that's quite a few times, more than practically anything else, except for thee and of and different things like that. No. So, and Srila Prabhupada says the entire material creation is based on mental concoction. Otherwise, by the desires of the mind, of the collective conglomerate living entities, the whole material creation, all of its different manifestations are coming about. Otherwise, there's no need for material creation. But the need for material creation is that Krishna, in his unlimited variety, he has nitya siddhas and nitya badhas. This was discussed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Jaiva Dharma, where the question arises, if Krishna creates everything, then suffering is also created by Krishna. Otherwise, the indication or the implication is that Krishna creates, subjects us to suffering. But the answer that was given, no, it's not like that. Because when the living entity is in pure consciousness, even though the three modes of material nature may impose suffering on the body, the living entity doesn't suffer with pure consciousness. He's thinking of Krishna. And he's meditating on Krishna. Just like any ordinary person has this experience. An ordinary person maybe have a pain in his knee or some bodily disturbance, as said here, that klesha santapa, all kinds of miseries and all kinds of pains. The pains were so many pains that, King Kulashekara says in his prayers, Mukunda Mala, he says that this body has so many joints. And at one time, all those different joints gave me so much pleasure. And I didn't realize how many there were. He's indicating. But now that they're giving me so much pain, I feel every one of them. So any ordinary person, they may have some pain. But if they're watching their favorite television program or eating their favorite food, then they forget about the pain. So when one is absorbed in Krishna, then the sufferings of this material body, yeah, they're there, you perceive them. But one is so absorbed in Krishna that they're insignificant. Insignificant. Just like Markandeya Rishi, in one of the different creations that he was subjected to, his students, his disciples, they saw he was just sitting. He was just sitting and meditating in the rain, the sun. And so they said, Guru Maharaj, can we construct some shelter, at least some roof or something? And no, I'm only here for a little while. No, just a little, seven kalpas only. No. So, if one is meditating on Krishna, then the sufferings are not so important. But if we're meditating on the body, which is in this verse, dehi no bibida klesha santapa, that the body vibhida, various or many or unlimited types of sufferings and pains. No. The source. No. Krit santapa krit udahritaha. So, and it's all coming from mental concoction. Otherwise, the mind is focused on the body. And therefore, Krishna says, maya sakta mana partha yogam yunjan marashaya, that we should focus the mind, attraction. The mind should be attracted to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada comments on that verse. One of the verses that Srila Prabhupada gave more classes on than any other verse. And he says again and again that attraction must be there. There must be attraction. But the attraction should be for Krishna's lotus feet. So we'll continue with the purport. The mind sometimes induces us to think that if we purchase an automobile, we can enjoy the physical elements such as earth, water, air and fire, combined in forms of iron, plastic, petrol, and so on. Working with the five material senses, panchabhutas, as well as with our five knowledge-gathering senses, like the eyes, ears, and tongue, and our five active senses, like the hands and legs, we become involved in the material condition. So here Srila Prabhupada describes the marvelous creation that is the material body. So many intricate parts, such a wonderful machine. No one, even with our nanotechnology, we can make all kinds of, something and then reduce it down to a small little chip size or mini chip size or little, but it still is not such a wonderful machine as is the material body. The material body, so many intricacies. Still, biologists, scientists are amazed by the functionings of the cell, the all the different things that are going on in a cell. One cell? No. But to speak of the billions of cells, how they combine DNA, RNA, all these things. No. So wonderfully constructed. No. But what is the purpose? No. What is the purpose of the body? Two purposes. For those that are conditioned or overly conditioned or trying to give up their conditioning, it provides us so many problems. And for those who are seeking self-realization or to serve Krishna, it is a wonderful vehicle, a wonderful boat, as it says in the Bhagavatam. A boat, and the body is like a boat, and the Vedas are like the winds that propel that boat. But also, Maya is another type of wind that pushes the boat in the wrong direction. And the spiritual master is like the rudder guiding the boat to Krishna. So, it can be wonderful or it can be miserable. No. Of course, it's always going to provide some misery. But if we use it properly, by controlling the senses, vidyatma, as Krishna says, the regulative principles of freedom. If we apply the regulative principles of freedom, meaning discipline, discipline the senses, discipline the mind, shama dhamma. We apply that. We live in a brahminical way, even if one is not a brahmin. Still, controlling the mind and controlling the senses, first things mentioned by Krishna as brahminical principles, they apply to everyone. Everyone except the shudra, but the shudra's senses and mind are controlled by those that are guiding the shudra, serving the shudra. Because a Vaishnava always thinks, Vaishnava doesn't think the shudra is a lowly position. If he's properly engaged in Krishna consciousness, every position becomes wonderful. So a Vaishnava is thinking, let me serve the shudra by telling him what to do. Or if he's just like Sri Haridas Thakur, was born in a shudra family, although a wealthy shudra family, but still. But he was the topmost Vaishnava. So the proper use, even if one has the lowest shudra birth, Oho bata swapa chato gariyan, yajjivagre vartate namatubhyam. If we chant the holy name of the Lord with the lowest possible birth, we can become successful in all Vedic practices. So, all these things, become involved in the material condition. So, then Srila Prabhupada says, thus we are subjected to the tribulations known as Atyatmika, Adidhaivika, and Adibhautika. The mind is the center because the mind creates all these things. As soon as the material object is struck, however, the mind is affected and we suffer. For example, the material elements, the working senses and the knowledge-gathering senses, by them we create a very nice car. And when the car is accidentally smashed in a collision, the mind suffers. And through the mind, the living entity suffers. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada indicated that the person who suffers the most is the wealthy person. Because, just like the example of a car, a wealthy person will have a very nice car. A poor person, if they have a car, it would be old, beat up. So somebody scratches it, no problem. But if you're wealthy, and you have this nice Rolls Royce, Mercedes, or whatever, somebody even gets near it, you're in anxiety. Just like somebody comes to clean the window, and you think, I better give him some money, otherwise he'll scratch my car. So always in anxiety. When I was a brahmachari preaching in, preaching in one country in Central America, Guatemala, so I had the opportunity to preach to the wealthiest person in the country, one lady who owned the only airline at that time that existed in that part of the world. So I went to her house, huge mansion, like six city blocks, but huge walls, like 20 feet high. And on top of the walls there was barbed wire. And on every corner there was a guard. So I began to speak to her. I said, actually, you're living in a prison. Just like any prison, they have barbed wire, guards, big walls. And she thought about it. She said, yeah, that's right. Every time I go out, I'm in anxiety. I have bodyguards in front, bodyguards in the back. But I'm always in anxiety. Someone will shoot them. Someone will kidnap me. Therefore, Krishna says that we should be very careful. Nir yoga kshema atmavan. Nir yoga, don't try to acquire things. Nir kshema, don't, because acquiring things is very difficult. Nir kshema, and preserving them is more difficult. And even more difficult is to give them up. So the less we acquire, the less anxiety, the less difficult it is to give it up. Just like that in the Bhagavatam, it explains in the story of what's his name, Purandara. that at the end, it's family, friends, objects, you know, so difficult to give up. What will they do? You know? Well, how will they survive? You know? How will they? Think it's so much anxiety. And generally, the family members are thinking, when will he go? You know? Many times, especially if he's got a lot of inheritance there, they're thinking, they're standing by the bedside, crying, but they're really crying, why is he staying around so long? You know? Why doesn't he go away so we can divvy up the wealth? You know? Jackals and tigers. So, Srila Prabhupada says that the mind creates that suffering, you know? Because if somebody scratches the car, crashes the car, you know, unless you know it's a really bad crash, you know, I'm not hurt in any way, but by the mind I'm suffering so much. You know? And so the mind is the intermediary, that even if the body is suffering, the mind it increases that suffering so much. So Srila Prabhupada continues, the fact that the living entity, while concocting with the mind, creates the material condition. Because matter is destructible, through the material condition, the living entity suffers. Otherwise, the living entity is detached from all material conditions. When one comes to the Brahman platform, the platform of spiritual life, fully understanding that he is a spirit soul, aham brahmasmi, he is no longer affected by lamentation or hankering. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18:54, brahmabhuta prasanatmana shochati na kankshati. So, if you're actually on the brahmabhuta platform, then na shochati na kankshati. That there's no shochati means living in the past, you know, lamenting. I remember this just like old people like me, you know, and even older. Even devotees, sometimes I hear them say, I remember in the old days, you know, Sankirtan like this, and this was like this, and Prabhupada said this. You know, and that's true. It was very nice memories. But we should not live in that. Na shochati, na kankshati, hankering. So generally the living entity is shochati kankshati. Always either in the past, remembering, oh, that was so nice, let me reproduce it. Or kankshati, it would be so wonderful if, you know, that if there's an if, it means, you know, that I'm projecting into the future, projecting into the past. So the Brahmabhuta platform means that we're living in this moment. And living in this moment means, what is the best way to live in this moment? Who knows? The best way we can live right in this moment. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Not only do we live, Prabhupada told us, you meditate on every syllable. So if you meditate on every syllable, you're right there. And you're associating with Krishna. You know, how much more and what better way can we live in the moment than you're meditating, you're alone with Krishna. You know, when we're chanting japa. That's why sometimes japa is a little difficult, because you're alone with Krishna. You know? Just like if somebody is alone with Dr. Modi, you know, like president, the prime minister or the president or some famous personality, become a little nervous. Oh, what am I going to say? I hear that this great, or some great scholar. One time Srila Prabhupada, when first days when Srila Prabhupada was preaching in India, he sent two brahmacharis out to preach, and they came back feeling a little dejected. They said, Srila Prabhupada, you know, we met this Mayavadi, and he was so learned that we couldn't say anything. Anything we tried to say, he would spit out 10 shlokas and, you know, so learned. And Prabhupada said, this is not good, you are Brahman. No. Brahman means you should know. And if you know Bhagavad Gita, even with 30 verses, 30, 40 verses, you can defeat anyone. But Prabhupada was not very happy that his devotees were not taking very seriously the concept of second initiation. It means you learn, you understand, you study his books. Another time one devotee was going out on Sankirtan and he asked Srila Prabhupada's blessings to distribute this book. One book had just come out. And Prabhupada said, so have you read the book? Oh no, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada said, then how can you distribute? No. If you don't know, how can you praise something you don't know? How can you give something you don't know? No. The Prabhupada said, I have written these books for my devotees. No. So in order to distribute books, in order to do anything in Krishna consciousness, we have to hear. No, I'm very happy to see many devotees here hearing today. No. So, Srila Prabhupada says, one who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. Elsewhere, in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Mamaya vamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manashastran indriyani prakritistani karshati. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. The living entity is actually part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is unaffected by material conditions. But because the mind, mana, is affected, the senses are affected, and the living entity struggles for existence within this material world. So, Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, in the verse, which is not really mentioned in the Sanskrit, but Adhyatmika, Adhidaivika, Adhibhautika. So these three miseries. But it is mentioned in the verse in one sense. No, that dravya jnana kriyatmaka. Dravya means matter. Adhibhautika, the body. The material body is absorbed in matter. And then adhyatmika. Adhyatmika, the actions or the mode of passion. So the body, adhibhautika, refers or generally is speaking about the effects of the mode of ignorance. Now, Srila Prabhupada says in one purport, that means all the bodily conditions, birth, death, old age, and repeated births and deaths, old age and disease. No. That which grossly affects the body. And then the mode of passion, adhyatmika, the mode of passion activities, the active senses, doing so many things to trying to get so many things done. And adhidaivika, that which is imposed by the demigods, or otherwise the knowledge acquiring senses. But all of them, unless they're related to Krishna, therefore we have activity for the senses, for our senses, controlling the senses, we have active devotional service. For controlling the mind, we have the chanting of the holy name. And for controlling the intelligence, we have the hearing, the process of hearing the Bhagavatam, hearing Bhagavad Gita, hearing Chaitanya Charitamrita. Keeps our intelligence satisfied. Srila Prabhupada said many times, and for those who are intellectually inclined, we have our books. And for everyone, because everyone has a problem with the mind, we have the holy name. And for controlling the senses, we have Krishna Prasadam and devotional service. So, to control all these different factors. So that's the Dravya Jnana Kriyatmakaha that Srila Prabhupada discusses. And of course, this verse is very much related to the previous verse. The previous verse, Angira Muni, speaks about all the objects, all these different objects, friends, family, children, all kinds of things which Srila Prabhupada mentions here in this purport. And in the previous verse, it speaks about them being a dreamlike condition. And this verse again, it states, where are these things, where is this attachment coming from? It all begins with meditation on the material body. So in the Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, there's a very nice verse that explains this phenomenon. That abhidyamano javabhati hidhatu. That by ignorance, we perceive dhatu-diya with materially oriented intelligence, that swapna manorato yata. That there are two types of dreams. Swapna, that dream, we very easily identify the swapna, the nighttime dream. It's very easy, we can see that's a dream. We wake up and it's all gone. But the difficult thing is manorata, the daytime dream. The dream that we consider, that we many times perceive as reality. And that dream, all my desires, all my aspirations, all my plans, they seem like reality. But the Bhagavatam, Sri Kavi, he's explaining to Nimi, Maharaj Nimi, that this is everything that has to do with material conditioning is a dream. Tat karma sankalpa vikalpa kam mano. The karma, when it interacts with the mind, it creates sankalpa vikalpa. That I want to accept this, I want to reject this. And as long as that goes on, we remain in the cycle of birth and death. We remain in this material world covered by the different modes of nature and very difficult to escape. Budho nirundhya abhayam tatasya. Only by becoming fearless. No. Only by becoming fearless. And previous to that, Kavi, he describes, what is fear? What is the cause of fear? Bhayam dvitiya vinivesita syat. That fear or anxiety, because fear and anxiety are the same thing, just like Srila Prabhupada mentions here in his purport, giving the example of how someone, but through the material senses, mental concoction, the mind, I want this car, which is Tejo Varimridam Yata Vinimayo Yata Trisagom Risha, which is just a combination of fire, water, and matter. All these things combining together, sometimes with air and ether, makes all these material objects, which are just the movements of the material elements. But that identification, creates fear, anxiety. What is the anxiety? The anxiety is that I work so hard to create these things, or I'm so attached to these things, and the anxiety is that at any moment they will go away. That is the fear. So, bhayam dvitiya, the secondary cause, avinivesha. The secondary cause, what is the secondary cause? Maya. So whenever we identify with the secondary cause instead of the primary cause, which is Krishna, then so much anxiety, fearfulness, so many problems. And ishara petasya viparyayo ashmiti. And what then what happens? Viparyaya. it's reversed. Otherwise, instead of the Lord being the dominating factor in my existence, no, it's reversed. My desire should be controlling the Lord. Otherwise, I come before the deity and I say, I want this, I need this. No. Or in other religions, they pray to God, give me this, give me that. No. They confused God with Santa Claus, no, that he's here to give me some gifts, some fairy giving me so many different things. So the Bhagavatam says, this all comes from Mayayato. This is all created by Maya. No? But if we wake up our intelligence, Buddha Abhijetam. If our intelligence wakes up, then we will worship the Supreme Lord. And Bhaktyayakaye Sham Guru Deva Tatma. And by the process of bhakti, given to us by the spiritual master, then the spiritual master, who is the representative of the demigods and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he gives us the process of devotional service. And then we become happy, we become fearless. All these things, this is also discussed by Krishna, that that dukesh vanudvigra mana sukeshu vikitas priyaha. When we give up the perception of suffering and pleasure which come about by the mind, bita raga vaya krodha, then we can defeat this progression. No? We rise above the progression, raga, attachment, bhaya, fear of losing those attached objects, and krodha, the anger or frustration we feel when we have to give them up. So these things, just by understanding the real source of everything is Krishna. But the mind is difficult to control. Krishna recommends that to control the mind, you focus on Him. And not, because when you focus on these material objects, jayato vishayan pumsa, sangasteshu bhajayate, sangat sangjayate kama, kamat krodho vijayate. When we focus on these material objects, then immediately there's attachment. No? Just like advertising. No? Advertising means you show something in a very nice way, in an attractive way, immediately, oh, I need that. I need that. Attachment. Or a young boy sees a young girl and immediately he thinks, what can I say? How can I act? How can I do this? How can I play the madanga? How can I do something to attract this nice young girl? Or vice versa. No, works both ways. But if you don't see that girl or boy, then there's no attachment. No. So if we're focused on Krishna and Krishna's beauty, then the temporary beauty of this world is not very interesting. Just like Srila Prabhupada was walking on the beach in Los Angeles, and one devotee said, just see, Prabhupada, how beautiful the sunrise is. And Prabhupada said, it is not beautiful. And he said, but Prabhupada, it's the sun is representing Krishna, representing the beauty. Therefore, I was thinking it was beautiful. And Prabhupada explained that he was thinking that way. He was appreciating the beauty independently of Krishna. No. He was appreciating the beauty of material nature without relating it to Krishna. So yes, material nature can be very beautiful. But if we see Krishna's beauty, then the beauty of this material world is not very interesting. Of course, when we see something beautiful, then we ask, this is coming from Krishna. No. But if we don't see Krishna's beauty, then Srila Prabhupada was warning us, then we'll see the beauty of this material world. So Maya, the strength of the mind, is very, very powerful. I just wanted to just conclude by telling one story of how powerful Maya is through the projection of the mind. One time Narada Muni came to Krishna and he said, just like Markandeya Rishi, he said, "My dear Lord, I want to understand fully the nature of your material energy." And Krishna said, "You're always chanting my glories. Why should you be so interested in material energy? Oh, you should, don't think about material energy. No, no, I want to understand, fully understand the power of your material energy. Certainly I know it, no, he's a great sage, he's preaching all the time. But I want to understand to the fullest extent." And Krishna said, "No, you don't want," and he insisted. Krishna said, "All right." So then Krishna transformed into a Brahman. And he transformed Narada Muni into a Brahman. But they didn't, you know, Narada Muni didn't recognize Krishna. He didn't even recognize that he was Narada Muni. He was just a Brahman, but he had the same knowledge. He had his knowledge. So they visited the house of a Vaishya. And Krishna commended the Vaishya. "Oh, it's very nice that you're using everything to serve the Lord." Narada Muni appreciated that. Then they went to the house of a Brahman. And the Brahman received them, and Krishna, in the form of a Brahman, chastised that Brahman. "Why are you so attached to all these things?" No. And Narada Muni said, but he's using those things in Krishna's service. No, he was remembering Krishna. But Krishna, in the form of the Brahman, told Narada Muni, "No, because he's doing unnecessary business and accumulating unnecessary things. Therefore, I chastised him." No. And then they traveled to the Bhumandal. And there they stood by a beautiful lake. They were going to visit another Brahman. And this beautiful, clear, crystal lake. So Brahman Narada said to Brahman Krishna, "No, that so maybe we should bathe and then go." And Krishna, Brahman Krishna said, "You go and bathe. I'll come in later." So Brahman Narada went into the lake, submerged his body, and then when he came up, there was no longer a lake, it was an ocean. And he was struggling, you know, being carried by the waves, and he caught onto a log, holding on. And there was a king, who he saw this king standing on the shore, and he said, "Please save me, save me." And then he looked down at his body, and he had the breasts of a woman. He had a woman's body. No. And the king, thinking, "Who is this beautiful woman?" No. We went out in a boat, saved her, brought her to shore. And he said, "Oh, such a beautiful queen, beautiful princess as yourself. Who are you?" "I don't know. Where do you come from?" "I don't know. Oh, she must have been, you know, traumatized by being lost at sea or something. Her boat sank." So he took her to his palace, and she was so beautiful. She was attracted to him. They got married. They had 50 children. No. Oh, he really got into it. No. So, but then the children grew up, and the king gave, you know, divided up his kingdom among the 50 children. And they all became very greedy. And they started fighting amongst one another to the point where they actually killed one another, all 50 of them. I guess one of them kind of survived. Maybe he died. He bled out or whatever. But they all died. And so the queen said, "This Krishna is so cruel. No, how could he do this, take away my children? What kind of a lord is he?" No. And then Krishna, in the form of a Brahman, came and he preached, you know, that actually everyone is born and dies according to their karma. And he preached in this way. And she became calm. And so then he said, "So now that you're calm, why don't you go take your bath?" So she went and took her bath. And when she came out of the water, she saw it was Narada Muni and he saw Krishna. And so Krishna said, "So what did you experience?" And Narada said, "It was horrible. So do you want Do you want to know more about my material energy? No, 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 Krishna, I just want to see your glory. So the point is, we have to be careful with Maya. Maya is very tricky. No, she can bewilder us at any point. No. So what, you know, if Narada, of course, this is Leela. No. In the case of Narada Muni, is a Leela. But in our case, it's also a Leela, but not a good Leela, not Krishna Leela. Well, Srila Prabhupada says, ultimately everything is Krishna Leela, but this is our Maya Leela inside of Krishna Leela, not a very nice Leela. No. So this Angira Muni is encouraging the Chitraketu here to give up this Maya Leela, you know, and take up very seriously Krishna consciousness. You know. So, anyway, I can say a few more things, but time is up. So I'll stop here. Are there any questions, any comments? Yes. Here's the microphone. Someone went to pass it back. All of our motivations and everything, our body, our mind, our everything is supposed to be directed to Krishna. So therefore Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, this is the kaushala, this is the art of Krishna consciousness. The art is the learning the Bhagavad Gita and learning how to make our motivation taking everything and offering it to Krishna. No. Every thought. No. Just like many times in the Bhagavatam, tanu man karma bi, that we should offer our actions, our thoughts, and our words, or karmana manasa gira, no. That even an ordinary person, no, Iha yasya harer dasye karmana manasa gira nikilas vasya vasta su jivan mukta sa uchate. Rupa Goswami says that even when one is living in this world, if one wants to be a servant of Krishna, then you offer your actions, your thoughts, and your words to Krishna. Nikilas vasya vasta. Even though you may be in the most ordinary condition, like everybody else that has nothing to do with Krishna, you may be doing the same thing, but you're jivan mukta. No. So the whole science of Krishna consciousness is to learn how to offer these three things to Krishna. And that takes concentration. No. Concentration on Krishna. No. And so how do we do that? How do we concentrate on Krishna? No. I always say, you first thing you do, you get up and chant the holy name. And to get up and chant the holy name with some attention, then the last thing you should do is hear about Krishna. If the last thing you do is Facebook, or something similar, related, or business, or whatever, or television, or whatever it may be, no, then the first thing you'll do is be in the mode of passion or ignorance. And you won't want to chant, And when you try to chant, you think, oh, I need to do this, I have to do this. And if you spend too much time on Facebook or watching television or whatever, you probably won't get up at 3 in the morning or 4 in the morning. You'll get up at 6, 5:30, 6, 7. So immediately, then the mode of passion is awakened. So just a question of discipline. And our discipline is established by our priority. What is my priority? What do I want to accomplish in life? So is Krishna my goal, or is Krishna the instrument to achieve what I desire? Many times we have that, we want Krishna, so I want to eat a pizza, so I'll offer it to Krishna. Instead of, here's my deity, what would be most pleasing to my deity that I can offer? So, this either I want to do something, and let me include Krishna, or I want to please Krishna and let me include all my activities and all my thoughts and all my, everything I'm doing. So it's just a question of priority. If we have the right priority, then Krishna consciousness is very easy. Just like Srila Prabhupada said, what is the difficulty? And Chaitanya Charitamrita, the first verse of the 14th chapter, which I forgot, but basically it says, if we remember Lord Chaitanya, even the most difficult thing becomes easy. And without remembering Lord Chaitanya, even the most easiest thing becomes very difficult. Just like Srila Prabhupada said, that maintaining a family in Kali Yuga, in the Bhagavatam mentions it, it's a very difficult thing just to maintain a family in Kali Yuga. But if you meditate on Lord Chaitanya, then everything becomes easy. Because whatever we have to do, we're going to offer it to Krishna, and therefore it's a challenge in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada showed us how to, he accepted one challenge after another. Just like Tamal Krishna Maharaj told me one time. He said, every time I went into Prabhupada's room, it was like we thought, we'll just continue. Otherwise, Prabhupada told us to do this, so we'll just continue. But every time it was like, we're going to continue to do this, and also something new. Always a new challenge. He kind of imposed that on us also. That always a new challenge, always a new challenge. So, just a question of motivation should come from my priority is to please Krishna. So any other question? Brahma Vaivarta Purana. So anyway, it's a little late. Let's stop here and everyone can go take prasadam. Thank you very much. All glory to Sri Guru, Sri Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada, ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai.